Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
My elder, Sabelo, good afternoon to you.
How are you, my elder?
Sanele. Did I say Sabelo? Sanele.
It's Sanele.
I think I said Sabelo. Do apologize for that. Sanele, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, my elder. How are you?
We well, can't complain. God is good all the time. And we are happy ukuthi sibe nawe namhlanje.
No, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Fantastic. Now, the Voice of Prophecy lesson talks about facing one's life record in the judgment. So the judgment, but now going on in heaven, investigates the records of all the righteous, both the living and the dead. Now, in order to validate, in the minds of the universe, who will be among the saves when Christ comes, is there any hope for you and I? So at the end of this conversation, we should have at least determined that one question. Now, my elder, in the judgment, what happens to the sins of those who have accepted Jesus as their savior?
Yeah, thanks, my elder. I think we've been on a nice journey where we have had a nice reference point found in the book of Leviticus, and we've been focusing on chapter 16 because that at least gives us the foundation from which we know that the activities of the Day of Atonement, which has been a reference point throughout the past three days, which means, or which teaches us, where we've learned even from the book of Hebrews 8, 9, and 7, that what the priest or the high priest used to do on earth is a replica of what Christ has been doing for us since 1844. So in order to answer that question, then, I think it then is justice for us to go again to the book of Leviticus chapter 16 and the verse for this to say what happens to our sins for those who have accepted Jesus as their savior. Verse 30 says, "For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you. It cleanses you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord." So this verse then gives us the assurance that since the atonement that was done by the high priest gave the remittance of sins for the Israelites, it therefore goes without saying that even in heaven, on the day of judgment, through the blood of Jesus Christ, for which the Day of Atonement pointed, or the activities around sacrifices in the tabernacle pointed to, which was the death of Jesus Christ. So therefore, also ourselves, as you've mentioned, that in these records that are in heaven, which we read about in the book of Revelation, it therefore means that since our records show our sins, as much as our sins are represented there, in fact, I remember another preacher saying that, if the devil would be there during the judgment when we are judged, he would not have to go and look for evidence that he brings, to court, the evidence is already there, and our hope lies in Jesus Christ, where, for instance, as much as our accuser will say, "Here's the evidence," Jesus Christ as our advocate will be standing there and say, "Yes, it is true that my children or this particular elder has sinned. But because of my death and through his or her confession, therefore their sins are forgiven." So which then testifies to this verse that we have just read right now.
Yeah. Now, the record of our sin, because we have sinned, and of course, there's got to be judgment, etc. For auditing purpose, is it perhaps there somewhere?
Yeah. So, well, There is a verse, and I think for us, just like what our approach should be when it comes to judgment. I think firstly our concern should be alleviated by the previous point we just got from, to say, as much as our records may be there, so whether they are there or not, our focus should be, are we in the right standing with God, right? Because the sense we get from Revelation chapter 20 is that even, because there are different types of judgment that we seem to get throughout the Bible. It is the same records that the Bible makes reference to, because where it actually says on verse 15, where it makes reference of the book of life, where it says, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was held into the lake of fire. So meaning that this book or these records will continue to exist up until the day of hell. So therefore, whether the our names, our eggs are there or not, it seems as if these records will stay there. You know, so I don't know if in heaven, you know, we've got auditors or not, right? You know, so, but I think I read also somewhere as I was doing research, where it also speaks to the fact that, look, our greatest hope and our greatest trust must be in the fact that our sins are forgiven when we've confessed our sins and given our lives to Jesus Christ. So even in the final judgment, after the millennium, when the book of life is opened, we should have trust and faith in God that we've committed our lives to Him and therefore should not fear judgment.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Now, you know, is there a chance perhaps that we are able to alter, you know, our record at all? I mean, what hope do we have at judgment? Because, I mean, if the record is there, surely we can ask someone to, you know, especially if we have a connection with the Son, to say, listen, man, things are not going well there, supposedly. Can you do something? Is there a chance to actually say, you know what, let's find a way to alter, you know, our records, either by good living or by simply by connection or anything like that? Please do tell.
Yeah. You know, I remember I once presented a presentation on judgment, where I actually, you know, goes to what you are saying, that we actually have a connection. We actually have connection in heaven. Because look at the fact that we are the sons and daughters of God. And we are the ones who are standing as the accused, if you look at the court scenario, right? And then you have, for instance, the devil who's then the accuser, or you can think of him as the prosecutor in this particular case if you've sinned against the state, right? And then you've got Jesus, who is now our advocate, right? And yes, there's some sort of nepotism that actually then shows that we actually have connection in heaven.
Where
God the Father is actually the judge, but the judge is actually the father of the advocate, and the advocate is our brother. So we have a deep connection there, you know. So look, my elder, I think we even a judge. So I've had the privilege of working with judges before, and you know their judgments are written by them, and they do not actually show them to anyone. So everyone is surprised on the day of judgment what the outcome is, and therefore we don't get, also from what I've read, any view that we have any way to capture what goes on onto those records. So our biggest opportunity is to make sure that, and I think here I like John, 1 John 2, verse 1, where John says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you will not sin. So our way of altering the books and is by making sure that we don't sin, right? That's the first one. But the second one is that if we do sin, John says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So therefore, this is the way or the opportunity then that we have to influence, in inverted commas, what is written there. And the fortunate part is that we also have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven, and the assurance that comes from John the Revelator that if we have sinned, and I'm actually currently researching about blamelessness, because you read about blamelessness a lot in the Old Testament, and especially also in the life of King David, where a number of times the Bible says he was blameless. And in some instances, it says, except, you know, the sin with Bathsheba, as an example. So it's a very common theme where even some of the promises that God gives to the children of Israel, he says, if you live righteously and obey my commandments, I will make sure that, you know, you win over your enemies and so forth. And it was when they had sinned that God allowed them to be captured. So there's a theme there which coincides with what John is saying, to say, guys, you actually have the ability not to sin. However, if you do sin, you can still confess your sins and you have the assurance of God's forgiveness.
Yeah, indeed. Now, you know, this judgment, you talk about judgment today. You know, when you are standing in front of a judge, of course, you're gonna have your heart beating up a little bit higher. And you're going to have some worry, and you are going to be having amakhala in my language. How can we face the judgment, my brother, without any fear?
Yes. And I think 1 John 2 is consolation, I think, for us at first. And then, but a verse that I like the most is in Psalms 103, verses 11 to 13, which says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear and worship him with all filled respect and deepest reverence. As for the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Just as the father loves his children, so the Lord loves those who fear and worship him." So for us, I believe one of the things that should actually make us look forward to judgment and not fear judgment is the fact that, number one, we do what we can through the power of God to avoid sin and pursue righteousness. And I want to emphasize the second part.
Yeah.
Because living righteously is not only limited to not doing the things that we ought not to do, but it also involves us doing the things that God instructs us to do. And what will make us look forward to judgment is that we have tried through the power of God to live according to his commandments. And when we've erred, we place reliance on the fact that God, our Father, looks at us as his children, and he is willing to forgive us our sins when we honestly confess them. And I think one more point that I wanted to make about this is we read about two other concepts that are related to forgiveness and confession, is repentance and sanctification. So these are concepts that we read about mostly in the Old Testament, by the way, where, for instance, if I confess my sins, because we've been talking about confession, through confession we get the idea from the Bible that it must be incorporated with repentance, because we cannot, I think, not that we cannot, but I think better confession is that which is coupled with repentance, where I try with the power of God not to go back to the sin that I have committed.
Yeah.
But over and above that, be a vessel, a sanctified individual who is set apart to go to do God's word, which goes hand in hand with what I've just mentioned, to say it's not just about refraining from sin, but being sanctified, being set apart to do the work of God.
Mm.
So in that way, if I'm daily being bothered about what bothers God, and if I fail, then I know, because God is my companion, he's my friend. And therefore, I have this trust that should I fail, he will welcome me. When he comes back again, I have the trust and reliance that he will forgive my sins and he will give me the blessing of eternal life.
Beautiful. Lastly, my elder, there's a story there of King Frederick William that is shared in the lesson. Please relate that to our listeners.
Yes, it's a beautiful story. In fact, if you've been engaged in prison ministry, you can relate to the king's experience.
Mm.
And it's actually a story that is found in the book The Heart of Virtue, that speaks about King Frederick William I, where he visited a prison and he listened to a number of inmates that were trying to convince him to say, no, it's the judges, it's the witnesses and the lawyers that are responsible for their imprisonment.
Mm.
So as he moved from cell to cell, all of the inmates were saying, you know, King, influence the decision. I'm actually innocent. I'm here wrongly. And as he went to one of the other cells, there was an inmate who was just quiet. You know, surprisingly, the king joked and said, you know, I suppose you are innocent like the others too, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this inmate said, no, actually, I'm not. I'm guilty and I deserve, you know, all the punishment that should befall me, you know. And the king was amazed and they actually shouted and said, hey, you know what? Take this guilty man out of here before he influences the other innocent ones, you know. And I think this story, you know, could be an epitome of, you know, what confession is.
Yeah.
Where we go to God and just like in Leviticus, we're on the Day of Atonement. Everyone had to say the sins that they have committed, confess them to God, say it like it is. And in that way, pouring your heart out and saying, look, I've done the sin and I deserve the punishment. And fortunately for us, Jesus Christ has already taken the punishment. And through believing and confessing in him, we then receive his righteousness.
Beautiful story indeed. Well, but thank you so much, my elder, for coming through this afternoon. Thank you so much for giving us this relation so that we are able to learn. And I hope that our listeners have also learned a great deal. Blessings to you.
Thanks, my elder. Blessings to you too.
Blessings, thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.